Buckley said he would announce his own topic, and we now introduce Brother Buckley from Jackson, Michigan. Glad you're here.
It is morning. This is the story of my life. Rush here and rush there. I just don't rush fast enough. I bring the Christian love and greetings of the dear ones from Charlotte, as well as the Jackson class. Rejoice to be with you. It's always a question as to what the subject is to be when it comes to giving a talk. What would be best for the brethren? What ought we to talk about? I have a talk that I've been giving, have given several times, I thought was good, in fact gave last week. Gave it in Gary, Indiana, Paterson, New Jersey, Grand Rapids, Michigan. I thought it was good. I still feel that it is. But last week in giving a talk, I left some loose ends, which one of the dearly beloved sisters asked me about, and I appreciate that very much. It's always a sister who brings these things out, and I appreciate it very much. She had three questions to ask me, and they were very good questions. They were things that I didn't touch on to the point of clarification that I feel that I should have. So by the Lord's grace, would like to do that today. Would like to consider again the same subject I did before, but yet possibly from a different standpoint, insofar as for a lesson, and still not only a lesson in the Scriptures as to what they teach, but what we can gain from them also. Now, some of you here today, I'm sure, that have heard the talk before. It's a question, whose goat am I, or whose goat are you? My purpose in giving the talk was to consider just whose goat are we anyway. We made a consecration under the Lord to be part of the Lord's goat by His grace and with His help. But as we look in the Scriptures, we note that there is another goat also, and there is a chance that we could be a part of that goat. And so because of this, we consider these things. So if you will turn to me to Leviticus, the 16th chapter, we'd like to begin the reading with the 5th verse. Where the teaching of the two goats are, found in the tabernacle in the ceremonies there, we read in Leviticus 16:5, and from the congregation of the children of Israel shall he take two goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall bring near the bullock for the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and place them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall put lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for Azazel. Now this is the Leiser translation. And Aaron shall bring near the goat upon which fell the lot for the Lord, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which fell the lot for Azazel shall be placed alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him by sending him away to Azazel into the wilderness. Now let us go down to the... let's read number 11 first. And Aaron shall bring near the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and he shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and he shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. Now going down to the 14th. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger above toward the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle 7 times of the blood with his finger. And he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, that is, for the people, and bring his blood to within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it above the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that abideth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall not be any man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out. And so shall he make an atonement for himself and for his household and for the whole congregation of Israel. And he shall then go out under the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement upon it. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle upon it of the blood with his finger seven times. And he shall cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, then shall he bring near the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgression and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat. And he shall send him away by the hand of a man appointed thereto into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited. And so shall he send away the goat into the wilderness, or into a land of separation. And then going down to the 26th verse. And he that carrieth the goat to Azazel shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. Now this we find is a lesson for us, or contained therein, that is very, very important. On there are two goats, the Lord's goat and Azazel's goat. Well, the Lord's goat, we know that by the Lord's grace we are a part thereof, but Azazel's goat, this is something else. In the King James Version, it speaks of scapegoat. But why Azazel? Why to Azazel rather than to point it out, this goat is a scapegoat to be remain alive and to be taken out into the wilderness? But yet Leeser says, be taken to Azazel. What's he talking about? We understand in the play Paradise Lost, Azazel is mentioned there, and it is Satan. We believe this to be true. Brother Russell points it out on page 4035 of the reprints. So, this being the case, then one goat is for the Lord to be killed, and the blood taken into the Most Holy, even as with a bullock, and sprinkled seven times in the form of a cross, whereas the other goat remains alive, taken out into the wilderness and just let go. No one else around whatsoever, just to wander. And if he's taken to Satan, then what we would have is one is the Lord's goat, the other is Satan's goat, or given over to Satan for this destruction of the flesh. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, in the 5th verse, and he is referring to one who was the church at Corinth, who did something that not even Gentiles do. Paul said as much. He took his father's wife, which happens to be his own mother or mother-in-law, whichever it was. And this is something people just don't do. It is incest and wrong in every sense of the word. But he did it. And we find that Paul did not say, this man is lost eternally. He will go into second death. Oh, no. He said, rather, now he wasn't there, but he said, I judge this matter. And he pointed out that he would be given over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. For what reason? He said that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. In other words, that he might become still a part of the great company, Azazel's goat. Or the goat that's out in the wilderness, representing the great company, those who lost their crown, but still have an opportunity to be overcomers but not more than overcomers. This is one of the points that I failed to bring out as clearly as I should have. I felt that these were things that I did not need to touch on because of the fact that something I read that Brother Russell was pointing out, and he merely made the distinction of the one as the great company, other as overcomers. But actually, the one is an overcomer, the other is a more than overcomer. So that as we point this out, what we're saying is that this man, though he did the dastardly deed of taking his own mother or mother-in-law as a wife, still the Apostle Paul says, this man, that is to say, his spirit, that new creature, though he has lost the crown, he no longer is to be with the Master, to be able to be faithful to that degree, but still, he may be a part of the great company. So therefore, right here we find the man is already lost his crown, but not the opportunity to be before the throne. These are the things that we note. Now we bear this in mind for a reason, because by the Lord's grace, none of us have ever did a thing like that. But we still have the danger of doing things which will find us as a part of Azazel's goat rather than the little flock. And this is the thing we have to be careful of. What we then note is that if we fail along certain lines and the Lord has to push us and push us, and that seems like that what the Lord has to do to me because I'm just not as zealous as I ought to be. That the time eventually comes when, as the Lord is pushing, then what we have found is we have lost that prize that we first began to run for. And whereas before we indeed were part of the Lord's goat, it becomes a little bit more evident that we no longer are. Although, as we go along, we'll see how that we can't really say positively we are of Azazel's goat. But the danger is there. It is that which we are trying to point out. This is a reason for giving the talk. The danger that is ever present. Along this line, another question that was asked to me. And again, as I say, a failure to clarify as I should have. As a matter of maybe I better leave that. I think I better leave that for just another few minutes because there's something else that I want to point out first. I pointed out that there are four specific dangers that we have to be careful of if we are to be continually a part of the Lord's goat and not Azazel's goat. That we be not idle, that's number one. That we be not disobedient, that's number two. That we be not fearful, that's number three. And we be not presumptuous, number four. Those four things. And it was this that we went into to consider how that we can try not to be these things and therefore be sure that we remain a part of the Lord's goat and not a part of Azazel's goat. So as we consider these one at a time, the first one in the matter of idleness. Idleness is something that is very easy to come upon one. Not a case of I'm just not going to do anything, no. But rather a case of I don't have the time. And this sometimes of being taken up with the cares of this life, we find that it can be very true. That we have not the time. And the failure to have the time, this can work to our disadvantage so that we have to make time. This is something that one of the sisters pointed out to me that was very good. I appreciate that. Because with me, between my work in my appointment. I have very little time to study as I ought to, and to do the things that I should, as I had pointed out that I haven't written my sister, who lives, by the way, in Clifton, New Jersey, and all the time that she has lived there, I've seen her several times, but I've never gotten the time to write. Yet I could make the time. I'm really not that busy. I'd like to read you something which I think is very good. In the matter of the great company, the little flock, the Lord's goat, or the Azazel's goat, as to the difference between the two, whether we can tell it or not, and as Brother Russell pointing out here that we really can't, that nevertheless, by knowing, for example, we're not serving the Lord as much as we ought to, that idleness begins to set in, that we begin to note that we are not indeed doing the things we ought, and the danger then is very definitely present that we are slipping away from our part in the Lord's goat. But the question is asked to Brother Russell, is there any great company class on this side of the veil? And is there any separation between the little flock and the great company on this side? And his answer was, there is no separation. No two classes at the present time. And it would be quite improper for you or I or any other of God's people to try to say, this one belongs to the great company and that one to the little flock. No one decides that but the Lord himself, and that apparently is left to the very close. This is the point that I wanted to make a little earlier. But I didn't go into it as specifically as I should have a week ago. At the very close, now I pointed out that Brother Russell had two thoughts in mind, that the close of one's journey along the narrow way, and also the close of the gospel age. Then it would be told whether or not one would be the Lord's goat and would wind up with the master, or Azazel's goat and thus eventually be a part of the great company. Now this is what I said, and this is what I have, as far as I have gone each time I gave the talk. But the dear sister, she asked me this question along this line, and a brother also. Doesn't the Lord know whose goat you are before death? He does. And this is something, as I say, I didn't feel necessary to go into, but I can see now where it is. So that as we look at the things that I have been pointing out, that there does come a time in one's life that the lack and the failure has come to the point where the Lord indeed has relegated him to Azazel's goat and someone else has taken his crown. This before death. So this is the point that should be made and borne in mind. So that's what I pointed out as to the very close and the Lord telling which one they shall be, whether his or whether he would be a part of the great company. The final decision is made. I was speaking in an overall picture. So this is something that I want to clarify here. So we continue with his words. We'll go back. No one decides that but the Lord himself, and that apparently is left to the very close. Therefore, we think it would be quite improper to speak of two classes in the church. All ye brethren all come under one name. We must remember that the types of the law covenant were arranged to represent the matters that they would be seen by us in the conclusion of the antitypical day of atonement, and not to represent the things as they would be seen while they were in progress. In the type, first the Levites were chosen, and afterwards some were selected to be priests. Just so with us. Today we might be of the priestly class, but later we might lose our standing and become merely Levites of the servant class. We might for a time be of the Lord's goat class, and through carelessness in performing our sacrifices, lose our place in the sacrificial class. Someone might take our crown, and we might be thus relegated to the great company. Now, as I read this, I felt this was enough to explain further the matter of the very clothes that Brother Russell pointed out. But I could see how that it wasn't. He continued, so these things represent the results as they will be in the end of this age. There will be a great company class which will bear certain iniquity. Some erroneously think of the two goats as representing two different classes from start to finish. Not so. They represent the finished classes only. Those who sin willfully being entirely ignored because they fail entirely and go into second death. So then again, the words, only this time he says, until the finish. It may not be known where any of those consecrated to sacrifice may terminate their race. Ye are called in one hope of your calling, the hope that we may be of the Lord's goat class. So we found that we pointed this out, something to bear in mind, we felt a little more explanation because of the questions that were asked, which again, we appreciated very much. We must be very careful that we be not idle, that we, by His grace, try as much as possible to be directly in His service. In whatever way we can find, so to do. There are many ways, and there's always something that we can do, if it be no more than to speak over the back fence to the neighbor, or whatever it is, in one way or in another way. But the Lord is the one to know. And the thing we have to bear in mind also is that we can't say, well, now look at brother so-and-so, look what he's done. And I can't do that. Well, this is true. So then it is not a matter to try to do something we can't do, but something we can do. But as the Scripture tells us, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 8:12, that it is not according to what we have not, but according to what we have. So it is that the Lord is looking for, to do with what we have. That we have to bear in mind. There's one other point that I like to make in this, that whereas if by His grace we are able and feel that we can and have the personality so to do, have the desire so to do, to hand out tracts, or to do anything in a public way in the going door to door and knocking, whatever it is, this is all part of the Lord's work. These are the things we would want to do. Now, in doing this, we know and expect that things will not be quite as they might be, but nevertheless, this is what we expect. But the desire to do it, and therefore go and do. But first, it must be the willing mind. Ah, yeah, then there will be no idleness. In this connection, we look back at the time of Brother Russell, and the fact that they would go to the churches and stand out in front of the church and hand out tracts as they go out or come in, whatever it be. As we look at that, and we know how that we can do this, and we know that in Chicago they handed out tracts at one of Brother Billy Graham's crusades. And the result was they were shouting Antichrist to them, and they suffered for it. But they were an idol. But let us go to the other side. And let us now note that Brother Leo Post was telling me that they had a public meeting in New York. And one who came was a Jehovah's Witness, and he stayed to the service. When it was over, he went outside first. He had his own tracts. And as the brethren came out, or the public came out, he handed them tracts. Ah, so now we have the shoe on the other foot. So how do we act then, you see? So that it is a case of how do we act as brethren, depending on what the situation is. Again, be not idle. The next point is disobedience, or see that we be not disobedient. By His grace, we trust it's far from us. But it's not always easy to obey insofar as the flesh is weak. And we remember always the Lord's words. Not the Lord's words, Apostle Paul's words, excuse me. In the 7th chapter of Romans, that I would not do, I do, and those things that I would do, I do not. And so often this happens to us. And so it is that we become not as obedient as we ought to. But the Lord says that's what He wants, and that's what we ought to be trying so to do, lest it be that we fall into a part of Azazel's goat. And so we must be very careful along that line. And we do things we ought not, indeed. And things we ought to do, we fail. We know this. And we know we get spots on our garment. And we're warned that we see to it that we are very careful along this line. How long do I have, Ken, exactly?
20 minutes.
We have to be very careful as far as the spots are concerned. We have two more to cover, so quickly, fearfulness and presumptuousness, we have to be very careful along both lines. And one of the best points I wanted to make, and we will try to point out as quickly as we can this. The words again of Brother Russell, and I have not told you where I have gotten these words, because there's different places in the reprints where they're found. You can ask me later if you'd like to know where they are found. But one of the things that was read last week, and each time I give the talk, I read it today, I have time for that, in the matter of fearfulness, that we do not fear, but we go forth and do, and we know that we will suffer. And this is what we want, to suffer with the Lord. Said, it is true that the majority of Christians are of the tribulation class. That is the reason it is called a great company, while the overcomers are called a little flock. The difference between them is not in the degree of purity finally attained, but in the manner of obtaining it. God has a special pleasure in those who delight to do His will and who do not need to be whipped into an appreciation of right and wrong. These He calls overcomers. Now here is where, again, I read that, you see. Well, as the sister noted, aren't the great company overcomers? Oh, yes, they are. The little flock is more than overcomers. He said, these have the likeness of the Lord and are accounted worthy to be with Him where He is and to share in His honor, glory, and kingdom and power. So in the degree of purity, also I pointed out, that we have the question then, are the great company to develop perfect love or not? Well, I might have given the indication I thought that they wouldn't. Well, this is not so. They, it seems to me, must indeed develop perfect love. But yes, being forced into the matter insofar as they are pushed into the covenant that they had let slip. But then he said, it is not because the little flock of overcomers suffer more than the great company. That's something to chew on. Not because they suffer more, but that they suffer gladly, willingly, self-sacrificingly. And then these words. The tribulation saints, those that do become part of Azazel's goat, doubtless suffer as much as the overcomers or more. Now that is something to think about. Or more. And that's one of the things we took a little time with and we haven't the time to take today. But we look back and this I pointed out also, that there were millions who have suffered for the name of Christ and yet are not part of the little flock. Well, I became a little overzealous in using the word millions. I don't really know. But there are many thousands more that are of the great company of the tribulation saints, of Azazel's goat, than of the little flock, which only 144,000. But what we wanted to point out in this is, Brother Russell says that the tribulation saints doubtless suffer as much or more. And we look at some of the things that some of these people had suffered physically, and we couldn't even imagine it. It's something that of itself is beyond our comprehension. And yet, they couldn't all have been part of the great company because there's only 144,000 to begin with. And a largest portion of that is to be made up in the harvest. So these are the points that Virginia made. As far as presumptuousness is concerned, taking things for granted, this is something we have to be careful of also. Oh, there's so much. So what we have indeed in considering the question, Whose goat are you? That's not to look at one another and ask, whose goat am I? Oh, no. But to look at ourselves within it and ask that. I say, look at one another and ask, whose goat are you? No, but to look at ourselves and ask, whose goat am I? Because it's something to think about. We are part of the Lord's goat. We want to remain that. And if not, who do we have to blame? Neither death, nor life, nor height, nor any other thing will separate us from Christ Jesus except one. And that's ourselves. So it's up to us to do our part. And by the Lord's grace, we shall. And only by His grace and with His help. May the Lord add His blessing on what has been said.